Reach for your Bible. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. Everything we know about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of the wisdom of God that we know is contained in this book, the Bible. The most important decision we can make after learning about who Jesus is and yielding our lives to Him is to commit to absorb the Word of God daily in our lives. And perhaps the more important decision than listening to the message this morning, if you were to make a choice between the two, would be that you go ahead and decide right now a reaffirmation or a first decision. Every day I will spend time in the Word of God with an open mind and an open heart. Amen? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will. And. And some days it's like, we'll rejoice and be glad. And other days it's like, we will rejoice. Yes? But either way, we choose to rejoice because God is present and He's directing our lives. Gosh, folks, it's so good to be back with y'all. I mean, y'all kind of like our second church. And we've come to know many of you, love you, love your staff and your leadership here at Cultivate, and we look forward to every time we can be here. And so we're grateful to be here today. We're also here for a wedding, rehearsal last night, dinner, rehearsal this afternoon, wedding tonight, and leave early in the morning to go back to Gainesville. We were so happy to have Mike and Mary. Where's Mike? Mike and Mary in our home for a couple of days. He could only stay for a couple of days. You know, Seminoles get very nervous in Gainesville, Florida. I told him if he had more faith, he could have stayed with Mary. But we enjoyed the time that we had with Mike and Mary, and we rejoice with them in the new life that the Lord has given to them. Now, ask you a couple of questions that will be woven in the message today. What is your God-given dream? Now, I know you may have many, because God creates dreams out of hope in our lives, doesn't He? But I'm talking about, what is your God-given dream that drives your life and the other decisions of your life? Think about that. And then the second question. What is the most brave decision that you can make today before leaving to go home? See, I believe by the Spirit of God, or we can discover God's dream for our lives, His vision for our lives as we seek Him. In the passage that we have to study this morning, John chapter 5, reveals to us principles by which we can know and live, accomplish the vision, the God-given dream that He has placed within our hearts. So if you would take your Bibles and let's go to John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5. And would you please stand with me in reading and the honor the Word of God. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here one who was there had been an invalid for how long? 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well, sir?" The invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you carry your mat." But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, he said, "Pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. And later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him, what's the word? Well. You want to be well? Jesus is the healer. Dear Jesus, we don't want to leave as we arrived. So we're asking that by the power of the Word of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you engage our mind and our heart, that you reaffirm something we already know and perhaps reveal to us something that we need to know, so that we will leave different than we have arrived, and we'll be better prepared to serve you, to love you, than ever before. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. So here's the first principle in living out your God-given dream. One, know that God is for you. Now, I want you to note these words in the text. When Jesus, what's the word? When Jesus saw him. When Jesus saw him. Do you remember the day that you recognized that Jesus first saw you? Did you? Well, see, this man, this invalid, he was at the pool, Bethsaida. Ingrid and I will be back there with, 60-65 people this coming October. In fact, one of the things you can pray for, the Lord put it in our hearts several years ago, that when we took a trip to Israel, that we would help get missionaries who've been serving on the fields, some of them in the hard places for years, to help them get to the Holy Land, the Promised Land, that they have been teaching about all those years in their fields. And so that's what we're attempting to do this year along with the others. And so we need several miracles for that to happen. One, that Israel won't be at war in October. Two, funding for those missionaries. And three, the logistics of getting these missionaries from around the world to Israel at one time is challenging. For that, you might focus your prayers on Ingrid, who is doing that kind of work. So as you think about it, you pray for us, and we'll be here at this pool again, Bethsaida. Now, it was understood that when the angels stirred the waters, that the waters had healing power. And so if a person who needed to be healed could get into the water while they were stirred, they would be healed. And so this man had attempted this time after time after time because he had been an invalid for 38 years. That's 13,376 days. 13,376 days. This man had been an invalid. And he was perhaps as close as here to Steve and being healed. And he had a God-given dream, but it couldn't come true till Jesus walked by and saw him. He saw him. Do you know, and sometimes the circumstances of our lives can cause us to lose sight of our God-given dream. They can cause us to lose faith that we can actually experience our God-given dream. Like this man, when our circumstances are beyond our control, we feel overwhelmed. We can feel paralyzed. Maybe we have been canceled. Maybe someone walked out of our lives. Maybe we had an accident that changed our lives. We're in a tough place, and we're feeling alone, neglected, perhaps abandoned. You ever been there? Now listen. And Jesus sees us. He sees us. And that's when things can change. When Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha at the loss of their brother Lazarus, Jesus was standing there, and what did Jesus do? He cried. He wept. And when others of the friends around him saw that Jesus wept, what did they say about him? Huh? See how he loved him. You know, one of my prayers is that we would have a fresh understanding of how much Jesus loves us. How much? He was asked this much. And he stretched out his arms and died. That much. We live in a time of what one author referred to as the gaping jaws of uncertainty. We live in a cancel culture. We live in circumstances beyond our control. And even as God's people, as Christian people, even as worshiping people, it can cause us to doubt God's love, to lose sight of the God-given dream, and then Jesus comes afresh and anew. He sees us, we see him, see us, and that's when things change. And so when we hear, when we believe, when we experience Jesus Christ seeing us and all that that means of how much he loves us and the fact that he is for us, that's when the God-given dream is renewed and comes into sight once again. We were praying with a few before the service, and in the prayer of one of them, she said, "The world beats us. What was the word? Batters us. The world batters us every day." And you know what? The world can batter that knowing of the love of God out of our lives. That's one of the purposes of worship, that we have that renewed each and every week on the Lord's Day. So, God is for me. Say that with me. God is for me. Us. God is for us. God is for Cultivate. And that changes everything. Second,
know your vision. Verse 7 says, when trying to get in, meaning that he had a dream. He was working toward his dream, and his dream was healing, and he believed the pool was the means to that. So for 13,376 days, he dreamed that he would walk. He dreamed that he would be different. He dreamed that he would make a difference like others in the community that he saw. He knew what his dream was. And that's why I'm asking you, at this season in your life, whatever season that is, wake up with every morning anticipating that you'll take some steps toward your God-given dream. We were in communication with a young lady on the way here that we've known for a number of years, and she's a Christian financial planner. She's very good. And she was working with a company, a financial company, that had their focus on the bottom line. They made all their investments for their clients that would yield the highest profits. But irregardless of how those profits were aligned with biblical values. Are you with me? God says, that's not what I want of your life. That's not my God-given dream for you. She was doing well. She was making money. But inside her heart, she did not carry peace. And so for actually a couple of years, she struggled. And we talked, we prayed, but it was a huge chasm to bridge from my security to my God-given dream. But the time came when she resigned her job, started on her own, and 2 years later, she's doing well, and she's fulfilling her, what? God-given dream. God-given dream. Because she knew what it was. Mike and Mark just got back from the Amazon basin. Mark, I hadn't had a chance to talk with you. Had a good time, I think. But see, that was a God-given dream now about 22 years ago. And God spoke to me on a plane on the way home from the West Amazon Basin. Now thousands have come to know Christ because of men and women like Mark and Mike who takes the gospel, who takes Jesus to the West Amazon Basin, to those 33,000 villages that need Christ. In 2019, God stirred the hearts of Ingrid and I to begin another mission endeavor. It's Global Missions 365. And in these several short years, God has given us 15 partnerships in 8 countries. That's a God-given dream. Now, I tell you, if God had not planned that dream, then Ingrid and I wouldn't be doing what we're doing with Global Missions 365. And so I'm asking you, what is your God-given dream? It's never too early to have a God-given dream, kids. It's not. Did you know that some of our greatest missionaries that left legacies God spoke to at very young ages? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's never too early, and it's never too late. It's never too late, as long as there's breath in the nostrils, to have a God-given dream. But it's important to know what your God-given dream is. Let me explain in a practical way why that's true. Doug Vimring interviewed 400 persons about knowing their vision and accomplishing their vision. And so 80% never defined their dream, and of the 20% that did, 70% never accomplished their dream. Let that settle in. And then Peter Doble, in his study, 9 out of 10 never realize their dream for the lack of, what's the word? Clarity. Lack of clarity. And then Gail Matthews says, those with written goals, 40% more likely to succeed if they write down and share their goal with others, 77% more likely to enjoy success. Now, that's a pretty large contrast, is it not? No wonder then that the Bible says, write down your vision and make it plain so that the herald may run with it. Any idea where that may be found? Habakkuk 2:2. Know it. Write it down so that you may run with it. So I guess, again, what's your God-given dream for you personally? Whatever age, stage, what is your God-given dream? What about for your family? Do you think it would matter if we spent time on our knees before God asking for the God dream for our family and then put in a structure that will help us to achieve that God-given dream? What about for your church? Cultivate. I know what your dream is. And you state it this way. Our God-given dream is to bring the love and transforming power of Jesus Christ to all people. That's the God-given dream that lives in the bosom of this church. And you've defined how you're going to do that. And I think it's called forward by faith. So I want to remind you, remember, know your God-given dream and know that God is for you. And know that God is for Cultivate Church and her dream that he has implanted as well. Third, pursue your dream. Now, Jesus asked a maybe an unexpected question of this invalid, do you want to get well? Now, you would think that it would almost be an offensive question, having been an invalid for 38 years. However, it was not a casual question. Jesus was putting his finger on a fundamental issue that forced him to search his heart. Now, the implication is, now you listen to this, the implication is that he had a vision, but the vision didn't have him. I guarantee you, you talk with a person about their vision, and you'll know the difference within 5 minutes if they have a vision or if the vision has them. So Jesus is asking that very question to this man. He had a dream, but he was faced with the reality of doing what was necessary to see his dream come true. He had to face his feelings, and he had to face his doubts. He had to face his neglect, and he had to have a strategy of getting to that pool that he had not developed before. He had to face that. And so, in a sense, Jesus is saying, are you ready to deal with reality in order to experience what you say you have in your heart? And that's a different question, folks. It's a different question. It's kind of like in the book of Acts, when God's Spirit moved and 3,000 were added to the church, and we would all say, hallelujah, amen. And then there was the reality of dealing with 3,000 new believers in Christ. And that's like, hey, God, we pray for a growing church. But dealing with the reality of a growing church, the vision has to have you. You hear? Yeah, has to have you. All right, so once clarified then, expect difficulty. This man had his own difficulty, but once you have a vision, the vision has you, expect the unexpected. Expect that you'll have to deal with your own emotions, your own lack of confidence, your own sense of others' neglect, You'll have to deal with a strategy to do what God has placed in your heart to do. That's the rub. Now, when Paul was faced with that, he said things like, I press on to take hold of that for which you have taken hold of me. See, he had the vision had him. He said things like, I strain toward what is ahead. He said, I press toward the goal. So he understood that he had a vision, and God gave him that vision where and when? Started on Damascus Road, didn't it? Yeah. And he understood that he had to deal with the reality of that vision coming true in his life. Any of you recognize the name of Marcus Aurelius? Who was he? He was one of the Stoics. And he said this. He said, the impediment to action advances the action. What stands in the way becomes the way. Now, folks, write it down. Because I'm telling you, we miss that time after time after time after time. Oh, God, you've made it so difficult for me. And God said, yeah, because that's the way to my God-given dream. You see, the thing that is there to discourage us is the thing that is there to develop us. Make no mistake about it. That's the only way growth occurs. One of our 15 partnerships is David Kunze and his family. They have two children. And they first were in Argentina and with Word of Life. And he was teaching cross-cultural missions and language. And God placed in his heart to move his ministry from Argentina to Scotland. What a difference of culture. And for a couple of years when we were talking, and he was the one that I had a coaching relationship with, he'd say, you know, I just really believe God has placed this in my heart, but we don't have funding for that, and there's so many logistics to overcome. And one of them is, I don't know really how to raise funds in this kind of endeavor. Kind of a radical change for their family and culturally as well. Well, he set out to learn something what he didn't know. And today, guess where they are? Scotland. But guess what? They already have. Is it one or two families that are going to join them in Scotland? See? The thing that is the impediment is the thing that God is going to use to enable us to overcome, learn, and develop, and be, listen, and become somebody that we were not, so we can do what we've never done. Yeah, okay? All right, number four. Dare to accomplish the impossible. Jesus said, get up. Can you just kind of imagine being that invalid there for 38 years? And Jesus said, get up, man. What? But you know, I mean, we kind of react the same way, don't we? God gives us our God-given dream, and we say, what? You're kidding me. That's just God saying, it's time. Get up. What seemed impossible, but he was willing to go for it. Now, one of our partnerships, another one is in Haiti. So Ingrid and I, we were there, 2 years ago? April of last year. And so, you know, Haiti's a difficult place, but we were able to fly in an old DC-3. And so we landed on a grass strip, kind of interior Haiti, and we had a week of ministry there, and it's wonderful. I mean, our partners, Finesse and his wife and family, they're doing great work in the midst of a very, very dark and dangerous place. Well, I was teaching a class on leadership, and I had these couple of students just beginning college, and God's really upon their lives. Mike, I mean, you know it when God's favor and his is upon a person, don't you? And these two kids, well, they were sharing with me their God-given dream, and one of them, his name is Enns, his dream is to preach the gospel all over the world. Well, last few months, he's had an opportunity to come to the States. It's a Haitian that's in South Florida who helps other Haitians come to the States. And so this young man, he needs several hundred dollars for the application, and that gets him here, but it does nothing thereafter. And so I was talking with him one day, and I said, Enns, but when you get here, you have nowhere to go. You have nowhere to stay. You have no food to eat. You don't know how you're going to take the next step. And this is what he said. He said, I don't know where I'm going to stay, but my faith makes me audacious because I know everything God is doing for me is very difficult. I'm going with nothing, and I'm coming to take everything. And this guy who's been on that journey for a long time, I just kind of sat down. And I said, God, am I still operating in that kind of faith? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. I'm coming with nothing. I'm going to take everything. That could have been the words of the end. I come with nothing. I'm going to take everything. I'm going to have that different life. I'm going to make a difference. With Global Missions 365, and this has been in process with our board over the last year, but we've just decided to take a major initiative to help serve these 15 partnerships in 8 countries, and that is we set a $1 million goal over the next 2 years, this year and next year. That makes me tremble. But that's something that God planted. And if God did plant it, then he will see to it his way in his time. Amen? Our responsibility is to say, yes, God, okay, I heard that, and get up. Jesse, get up. So then, that brings us to the question, what is the one most important decision that you can make today that is a faith decision? And hear this, all of our most important decisions, all of our most important decisions are outside our comfort zone. So what's your most important decision? You know, we pray for y'all as a church all the time. We're so grateful for you. We're proud of you. We're grateful for the DNA that you're building with a missions heart and planting a church in this area. And so, I mean, at Westside for 34 years, I know what it's like, you know, to have to make faith decisions in order to grow. And so I know that you must be looking for more classes, right, Mike? Okay, that means you got to enlist people, you got to train people, you got to support people, you got to guide. And I'm telling you, making those kind of decisions can be hard decisions. And here's what Jesus says to cultivate church about classes. Get up. Come on now, get up. Get up. No kidding, get up. I know that as a church, you have to have more space. Now, let me tell you something I learned, and I relearned it time after time over 34 years as pastor of Westside. When you're 80% full, you are full. And if you have a special Sunday, you can pack every inch of space out. But I'm telling you, the next Sunday, it's going to be down this. So you need space. And that's a challenge here in this area, is it not? But I was encouraged. I was talking with Spencer earlier and looking at space and opportunity. And there's no easy way to do it. And Jesus says, oh, I'm so sorry. I'd like to make this easier for you. But instead he said, get up. Get up. Look at the space. Yeah, you got to do this, and yes, it's going to cost this, and yes, you're going to have to move. But get up. And I just kind of shared my heart with you folks. We pray for your staff all the time as well. And Daniel, you know, he's your pastor. And Daniel, he's your preacher. Amen? He's your pastor. Amen? And he's your music leader. Is that true? Worship leader. Do we understand that is unsustainable? Now you get a man like Daniel who has a heart like Daniel, and he'll do that until he burns himself out in his family. I know him. I know men like him. So as a church, you can't let that happen. Because, see, you can have Daniel for preacher and pastor for a long time, but you can't have preacher, pastor, worship leader over time. Can't do it. He's not God. He's God's man for this hour in planning this church. And so I know all those questions, like, you know, where do we find somebody that has the DNA and the heart for cultivate, and how are we going to pay them, and we don't have space anyway to grow. And Jesus says, I hear you. I've heard that many times. Get up. You better get up. Get up. Can you say, get up? Get up. Get up. Get up before your man gets down. So that God can fulfill his dream for this church. I know your heart is to see people saved. You're not interested in exchanging sheep from one pen to another. You want to see lives transformed by the power of God. And that means you got to train to share the gospel. It means you have to organize to be in a community. It means you have to face your fears. And Jesus says, what? Get up. Just get up. Just get up and do it. And I know all the arguments against it. You know, people don't want you visiting them in their home. Really? Well, then why is that when I do, 99% of them are so grateful that somebody cares enough to come to their house? Get up. Get up. Attempt what seems to be impossible. I was reading through the Bible again this year, Psalm 77:14. Listen to what it says. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. Psalmist said that. He experienced that. And then who said this? With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Who said that? The same one who said to them, get up. Get up. It's a matter of faith. And I know how hard it can be personally. when God calls me to get up every day, and I know how hard it can be as a church to get up in the face of so many seeming obstacles in our lives. Number five. Am I okay on time, Mike? All right, doing good. Doing good. Okay. Build discipline into your life. Now, Jesus said a kind of an unexpected thing here. He said to him, stop sinning. Now, as I've studied this passage, I don't believe that Jesus was saying that sin caused his condition. Apparently, it was his condition since birth, right? Okay, so this is what I think he was saying, best I can understand through my study. Now that your dream is in sight, you're standing on your feet, then daily discipline sins out of your life so that you can accomplish your dream. Now follow me. That is aligned with the same thought in Hebrews that says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance. Listen, sin is a drag on our God-given dreams. In fact, it can destroy our God-given dreams. So he says, if you have it, deal with it. Get it out of your life. Daily discipline your life. Now, I think there's a lot of different nuances of that, but I was thinking about a couple of guys that I have known for years. In high school, they started a business, and it was construction, site construction business. And for 50 years, because they just sold their business last December, 50 years, one brother got up at 2:30 a.m., 5-6 days a week. He picked up his other brother at 4:50 to be in the office by 5:30. For 50 years. They've done it extremely well, but they're also Christian men, and they've given a lot to the kingdom causes. But I'm going to tell you, on more instances than one, when I was faced with very difficult situations in my life and my ministry, I'd look to these guys. If they can get up 2:30 for business, why can't I do what is necessary at this season of my life to do what God has called me to do? You with me? Discipline. Now, one definition of discipline is doing what we don't want to do when we don't want to do it so that we may become who we're not, so that we can do what we've never done. And you see, I know a number of you are in education, and if our kids could learn that, it'd open up doors for their lives. Discipline into our lives. Here's a quote I want to give you. We don't decide our future. We decide our habits that decide our future. You with me? Yeah? Yeah. Here's another one. Your experience of tomorrow is in your schedule today. That makes sense to you? Your experience tomorrow is in your schedule today. That's where discipline comes in. And you know what? We don't have to do this on our own because God has given us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind or self-discipline. Or in one translation, God has not given us cringing fear and cowardness. Not that's not of God. He's given us power, strength, and a calm, balanced mind, as one translation says it. A calm, balanced mind. And then Galatians 5, it's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Yeah, fruit of the Spirit. And so discipline, build discipline into your life to experience God-given dream. One other thing, don't allow discouragement. Now listen to this. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, to kill Jesus. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. There's always somebody around close enough who wants to kill a God-given dream. That's why when we share our dreams, God-given dreams, we better share it with God-directed persons. Because they're dream stealers, robbers, killers. They'll take our dream. Why? Lots of different reasons. Maybe they feel threatened by your God-given dream. Maybe they're jealous. Maybe it's a control issue. Maybe it reminds them of their own failure. Maybe they have an agenda of some kind. Lots of different reasons, but for whatever reason, they will kill your God-given dream. Don't let that happen. There's two ways we can avoid it. One, have you ever heard of the crab mentality? Well, my undergraduate work was in biology, and I was at the University of West Florida. You're happy to know that, aren't you, Mike? University of West Florida. And then I was in marine biology, primarily. And that's when I was first exposed, years ago, to the crab mentality. You know, you can have a crab aquarium tank, and you don't have to put a top on it. Did you know that? And they won't get out. Do you know why? Because when one tries to get out, the others will pull them down. Yeah. So don't worry about your crab staying in the aquarium. I call that the crab mentality. Listen, never give your dream to a crab. Don't do it. They'll do this. I sometimes call them elevator people. Some people's going to raise you up, some going to pull you down. Be careful. I mean, the Bible says it many times. Be careful with whom you associate, because some will lift you up. Some will pull you down, and you don't even know it until you get down. Yeah, crab mentality. So somebody said, don't worry about what people are saying behind your back. They're finding fault in you instead of fixing their own fault. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about those crab people. Let them stay in the aquarium, but don't stay there with them. But here's a second thing of fighting discouragement in ministry. And this just came to mind, and it was years ago. I was in Southwestern Seminary, and Dr. Nelson was speaking, Mike. And he left such an imprint on my life. But he was speaking one day in chapel, and what he said was, if you're expecting a soft place in ministry, go ahead and touch the top of your head, because that's the only place you'll find it. And, you know, I kind of suspected it was true then. Boy, I know it's true now. And it's never been more true now than today in our culture in America. But here's a cool thing. Back to biology, marine biology. Have you heard of the Moses fish? Moses fish? Well, they're small. They're the size that sharks like to eat. Yeah? But you know a shark can't eat a Moses fish? I mean, The Moses fish can swim in the mouth of a shark. Check it out. You know why? Because they secrete a toxin that locks the jaw of a shark. And so they just swim around in the mouth of a shark, but protected. Now listen. The Holy Spirit protects us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in our lives. And so when we are swimming around in this culture that berates us and our faith, and if we're not careful, will cause us to withdraw like a cocoon. No, no, no. We don't need to do that. We don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to be frightened. We don't need to go sit in a corner. We don't need to get in time out. No, we go and we swim in the mouth of our culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how a church grows. So thank God for the Holy Spirit and keeping us encouraged, because he encourages, convicts, and guides and teaches. So affirm that God is for you. Define your dream. Pursue it with discipline. Stay with the right people. Stay with the right people. Okay, have a God-given dream? Get up. Get up. No kidding, get up. There's an urgency. Have you noticed? Get up. It's hard. Get up. That's where life is. That's where joy is. That's where excitement is. That's where God's call is.